Hey guys, and welcome to the world of Aja Pearl. It's my world, and I'm so happy you're here. So today we're going to take a little break from Chalice, the Book of Life, and we are going to do a read from my up-and-coming book, Are the Kids All Right? Now, a little backstory of Are the Kids All Right? The title itself, it came from a subject. That was discussed in a project called Stool to the Steps to the Stool or something like that. But it was amazing. It took place in Brooklyn, and we were separated in groups, and we talked about different subjects. Now my group talked about what the name of my group was entitled Are the Kids All Right? And the reason why it was called Are the Kids All Right? It was a discussion about children dealing with domestic violence. Now, I really thought this was a really cool title. So I wanted to use this title because this title is, the book is about unresolved childhood trauma. And this is why I chose the title, Are the Kids All Right? So, without further ado, there is a series of short stories told by different people and their unresolved childhood trauma. So, without further ado, the first story we are going to hear about is about a girl named Salome. Now, before we proceed, I want to read something from www.bustle.com/wellness. So here it is. According to Dr. Holly Schiff, a licensed clinical psychologist, she states that this experience is unlike anything a person has felt in their life, which makes the person associated with this discovery a permanent fixture in their memory. Not to mention the chemical bonds a person experiences when in love, such as oxytocin. Oxytocin is known for being the love hormone. It helps bond people closer together. It's what keeps some people monogamous. It can lower a person's inhibitions, and it can help you become more open and trusting of others. Simple things like hugging, kissing, and cuddling can chemically bond you and your partner. Now let's proceed to Salome's story. For days I thought, am I doing the right thing? Will people listen to my story? Will people care? Will people relate? I did not think my story would be important to anyone else. I have to admit that I've been harboring these feelings for years. People taught me not to be vulnerable or show vulnerability to something such as losing a love. Especially a young love, because in their opinion, it was puppy love. To them, puppy love should be a sweet memory of my childhood. Puppy love was unimportant and thinking about puppy love was a waste of time and energy because it happened in the past. If I ever put any time and energy into my own puppy love, I would have considered weak or too tenderhearted. So I forced myself to move on and continue with my life. I also thought that some people may think that my story would be stupid and think I'm somewhat childish to allow something like this to rent space in my head and have any kind of effect on me, good, bad, or indifferent. But I think it needs to be told. I'm not the only one who feels this way, but people will not admit to this bittersweet feeling of losing a first love. I feel I have to speak for them through my experience. So here I go. Like most girls, I dreamt and fantasized about my Prince Charming, or in realistic terms, my soulmate. Whenever I watched television dramas, a movie, or sometimes soap operas, I became swept into the notion of the hero taking the woman he loves as his own. Then he romances her until she surrenders her feelings to him. I craved that feeling. I watched in awe of the chemistry between the hero and the heroine. The chemistry ran so deep as though their souls were one. At the same time, these stories gave little girls a false idea about relationships and love. They make finding the one look so simple. However, despite this fantasy, I fantasize about my soulmate taking me in his arms, holding me, kissing me, loving me. I would not get enough of it. We would be in bliss with each other. Pretty deep thinking for a little girl, right? I would say that I was boy crazy. Okay, maybe a little, but I will say that I was a hopeless romantic. I wanted to be with my soulmate desperately. Maybe subconsciously, love was something that I craved. The phrase, I love you, was only spoken occasionally in my family, as well as displays of affection. Between the long periods of I love you, I felt inferior and unimportant. Although I had dreams and fantasies of being with my soulmate, the thought of it being a reality seemed dim. I thought that eventually I would meet my soulmate in my adulthood. I had no clue that I would meet him at 11 years old. However, at the time, I was unaware that he would be my soulmate. I did not notice him. I thought he was another kid at the party. I mingled with my friends until one of my friends pulled me to the side to talk to me. Hey, guess what? My friend asked. What? I replied. You see that kid over there? Yeah. Well, he said that he likes you. I laughed and shook my head. I thought he was playing a joke, so I ignored him. Okay, I replied and continued to mingle with my friends. This went on for three more times by three other kids playing messenger. Then, one of my friends told me that he wanted to talk to me. I went over to him. How old are you? He asked me. 11, I replied. Do you live in the building? No, but my grandmother lives here. Then I went back to my friends. There were little conversations between us. Then it grew dark, and it was time for me to go home. When I was about to leave, he stopped me. Yes, I responded. I like you, he said to me. I felt a mix of flattery, fear, and disbelief. I did not know what to do with that response, so I answered him in the first response that popped into my head. I responded, okay. Then I walked away. When he told me that he liked me, I did not know any other way to respond. As I said earlier, we hardly spoke, and I didn't know him well enough like I knew the other kids in the building. Plus, I thought my friends were playing a joke on me. Most of all, I could not understand his reason for being so fond of me. There were many other pretty girls at the party. Why not them? I thought very little of myself. Weeks later, little by little, I gathered a little more information about this mysterious admirer, such as his name and his age. The information he failed to disclose to me. Come to think of it, he must have been nervous to tell me more about himself. If that was the case, weeks later, little by little, I gathered a little more information about my mysterious admirer. For example, his name and his age. The information he failed to disclose to me. Come to think of it, he must have been nervous to tell me more about himself. If that was the case, it sounds kind of cute. When I reached home, I thought about what my mysterious admirer said to me. It gave me a warm feeling knowing someone liked me, but at the same time, I was super nervous because I did not know how to conduct myself as someone's girlfriend. Looking back on our first encounter, we were two children not knowing the concept of love, but we knew that there was something between us. Then the next thing I knew, he moved out of town. I did not think I was ever going to see him again. I thought the whole family left town, but I kept seeing his siblings. I asked his siblings about his whereabouts. The bottom line was he was rebelling since he left town. Strangely, I wasn't angry with him because I knew he was suffering. He missed his family, his friends, his neighborhood, and the city. His rebellious behavior was a cry for help. This was my first experience as an empath, but I didn't know at the time. I did not ask the siblings too many questions because I thought it was not my place. I wanted to help him, but I thought I could not do anything because I was just a child. However, looking back on the situation, I wish I asked for his address at least. That way, he knew someone besides his family cared about him. We could have been pen pals. However, as time passed, surprisingly, he would make visits to the city to see his family. The visits were once in a blue moon. Sometimes I never had the chance to see him. Whenever I came to visit my friends. When I did get the chance to see him, I spent a little time with him. I remember the first time he held my hand. His hands were so soft and gentle. I was shaking like a leaf on an autumn night. He must have felt the fear on my hands because he would not let go. I guess he felt that if he held my hands or my hand, it would allay my fears. I had my back against a brick pillar. He placed his hands on both sides of my head. Then he kissed me on my lips. That kiss. How could I ever forget that kiss? It was so sweet, innocent, and tender. It made my body tingle. I was so bashful, I couldn't look into his eyes. Then he told me, "You don't have to be afraid." My blood continued to race, my heart raced, and my head was spinning. Although he sensed my fear, he remained sweet and gentle to me. I thought I did something wrong letting this boy kiss me on my lips. I was thinking that I was too young to let boys kiss me on my lips. However, looking back on that moment, it was our first kiss. I know now that moment, that sweet, tender moment, involved two innocent children learning about love and affection. Looking back on the situation, I guess I was in love. Even though I loved the concept of love, maybe deep down, I was afraid of love. I wondered, was I going to be good at love? Will other people accept my love? How will other people view my love? All right, so another reading from healthline.com, which states, phobia is a fear. Philophobia is the fear of love, of becoming emotionally connected with another person. It shares many of the same traits as other specific phobias, particularly those that are social. It can be significantly impact a person's life if not treated. This is a phobia of getting hurt by someone in a romantic relationship. Now, according to WebMD.com /anxiety-panic/ what is phobia, philophobia can also be defined as a fear of falling in love. It can also be a fear of getting into a relationship or fear that a person will not be able to maintain a relationship. Many people experience a minor of fear of falling in love at the same point in their lives. However, in extreme cases, philophobia can make people feel isolated and unloved. Now we will continue with Salome's story. Sadly, that moment was one of the rare moments I had with him. Our time was always measured. The visits were always a minimum of a day to a maximum of a week. Another reason was that I was so nervous and shy to see him. I was terribly shy, maybe a little shameful. At first, I could not understand the reason for my idiotic behavior. The nervous laughing, goosebumps on my arms, the lack of eye contact whenever he was in front of me. Eventually, it occurred to me that the reason for my silly behavior was that I liked him too. I wanted to tell him so badly that I liked him, but I was so scared. Was I scared of him? No, but I was scared of what he represented. Love. Thoughts of myself telling him how I felt and laying my feelings on the table played in my head over and over again. I imagined myself saying, "I like you too." It never occurred to me that when you left, I would miss you so much. I'm angry with myself for not getting your phone number or your address to stay in contact with you. I could have asked one of your siblings, but fear would not allow me. Whenever I think about you, I wonder what are you doing? I wonder if you're okay. Not being able to be in your presence was torture in my heart. I know you will come back and leave again, but before you leave, know that I like you too. I think of you all the time, and I miss you very much. Then one day, a few years later, it was a moment of truth for me. While I visit my friends, I happened to run into his brother. His brother told me he was in town. Even though I was nervous, I put on my big girl panties and faced him. When I saw him, I put all my fears to the side and rushed into his arms. "Oh, hello to you too," he said as he held me. He was surprised by my sudden display of affection, but I knew he was also happy. We sat on my friend's terrace and we talked for hours and hours that day. I was finally honest with him. "Okay," I started, looking down at the ground, afraid of looking at him. "I don't want you to get the wrong idea about me. It's just that you make me very nervous and I get so shy around you." "Why would you get nervous and shy around me?" he asked. "I like you too. I feel so dumb not telling you sooner. I wanted to tell you, but I could not find you or get to you somehow, or as I said, I was shy. I did not want to use your siblings as messengers. I wanted to tell you myself. You don't have to be shy around me. Like I told you before, you don't have to be afraid. I know." While we talked, my hands were cupped in his soft, warm hands. I did not want to leave his side. When I did spend quality time with him, it was so nice. One thing I can remember about our quality time is that the times he held my hands or my hand, his hands were so soft and peachy tan. When he held me in his arms, it felt like home. It felt as if I belonged in his arms. Whenever he held my hand or my hands or my body, I felt his spirit. It was warm, inviting, and loving. The next thing I know, we were an item. I could not have been happier. However, the fact that we were apart most of the time was still a challenge for us, but I have faith in the love we shared. Whenever he came to visit, it was always a happy time. Our platonic love grew into a rare love. It was a love only two soulmates shared. Whenever he came to visit, he would sometimes come to my high school to take me home. I have to admit that I wanted him to see me in my Catholic school uniform. However, sometimes he had to leave a day or two earlier. He became so angry. I became angry too, but I put my feelings aside to allay his anger. "It's going to be okay," I said, holding his soft hands. "I'm pissed too, but let's just enjoy every moment we have. Let's just make every moment count. I love you so much." Whenever we had to be apart from each other, it was very painful. That summer, my parents made arrangements for the whole family to visit my grandmother out of town. Unfortunately, he came to visit around that same time. I was angry and heartbroken. By the time I came back from my visit, he left again. Since there was no internet and social media, we wrote letters and called each other.
we were so in love with each other at this point in our relationship. At the end of every phone call, we would do the, you gotta hang up first thing. I would get so excited whenever he wrote to me. It felt like Christmas and my birthday in one. In my opinion, the phone calls and writing letters were more meaningful and personal. Then one day, it was over between us. I was so devastated. I felt the pain in my chest as if my heart was breaking. I felt physically ill. I could not understand why he left me because we loved each other. I felt cheated. I grew upset with him, but I did not hate him. I could not bring myself to hate him. That is when I realized that my love for him was real. Also, I learned that part of loving someone is forgiving them. I'm not saying that while we dated, my love for him was not real, but my feelings for him were tested. That test showed that my love for him was stronger than the pain I felt from the breakup. Even though it was over between us, the love was still there. All right, so here's a little excerpt from www.classroom.synonym.com. Few things in life feel as devastating and life-altering as the loss of first love. Loving another for the first time is undeniably a powerful experience, and losing that person can leave one feeling deeply sad and lonely. Trying to remember that this loss is something that many people go through, and that most don't end up staying with the first love for life. With time and the right coping strategies, a person will get through this rough patch and feeling like themselves again. And now back to Salome. On my high school graduation night, I saw him again. It was the best graduation present God has blessed me, but I only had a couple of hours to be with him that night. He told me that he was going to leave tomorrow afternoon. However, this departure was different. Unfortunately, this was going to be the last time I ever see him and his family. The entire family moved out of town, which meant I would never see him again. He, his siblings, and I hung out for a few hours until it was time for all of them to leave town. If I could, I would have stretched every second longer so I could spend more time with them. But that was wishful thinking. When I saw the whole family leave in that car, my heart broke. At that moment, I realized that I was not only falling in love with him, but I fell in love with his family too. Even though I tried to put on a brave face, people saw my sadness. Okay, so now the question is always asked, are you all right? This is Salome's response. Am I all right? That question is so simple yet complicated. Love is a beautiful, powerful enigma. In some cases like mine, it can be etched in childhood. A person never gets over their first love. That first love lives in their heart forever. All right, here's a passage from www.quora.com. First love is the first person you fell in love with, and thus your very first experience handling such emotion consciously. When memory is linked with emotion, somehow brain hardwires the sequence into a long-term memory. So, yet, it never dies, meaning you are unlikely to forget that person. And here's an excerpt from www.halfhack.org. Love is always special, but your first love moves you in an unearthly unique way. It introduces you to feel you have never had before. It introduces you into a feeling you've never had before, for better or for worse, and is accompanied by a sense of wonder, intrigue, and excitement. And now back to Salome.
Now I have a wonderful man in my life. He has been very instrumental in my ending long-term suffering life. Not the love life, but the life as a whole, and leading me into a life of Christian values. I thank the Lord for sending him to me. However, there will always be a part of me that has suffered in silence due to the loss of my childhood soulmate. It has been years since we've been together, but he has been the star of my dreams and my fantasies since I was a child. Now the dreams have shattered. Maybe if we spoke a little louder and fought for our love a little harder when we were younger, our families would have understood or at least listened to us. However, I have to admit that we were both children in our opinion, and our opinion would have never mattered. All I wanted was for him to stay. I always wanted to share my life with him, but I will never get that chance because someone else has his heart. The only way I can love him is through friendship, and I'm fine with that. I'd rather have him as my friend than my enemy or nothing at all. I respect the fact that he has a family who loves him dearly. All I want for him is to be happy, if not with me. There's also a part of me who takes some of the blame for not nurturing and fostering our bond. I had low self-esteem, and my life at the time was overall long-suffering. I thought that I was a burden. And some may say, you need to get over your ex. Why are you chasing after a man who is married? He's not thinking about you anyway. These are people who like to hear themselves talk and who want to voice their opinion despite their lack of experience, knowledge, and most of all, empathy. He is not just my ex. He was my first love. And he is an important factor in my life. Again, I am with a wonderful man who I love dearly, but my childhood soulmate lives in my heart as well. I know my place, and I will not do anything to violate that. I will always love him, and he will always be my friend. I know my dream of being his wife and the mother of his child or children is shattered, but our friendship is steadfast. For those who said that I would be weak for being sad, angry, or both towards watching my childhood soulmate walk in and out of my life, lack empathy, or have never experienced this kind of pain, or they have experienced that pain but refuse to face the reality that it does hurt and it is instrumental. Therefore, they make the other person who is going through the heartbreak feel ashamed and emotionally weak. They have no reason to voice their opinion. If anything, they like to hear themselves talk and feel important because they feel that they've gave their contribution to a subject that, in reality, does not pique their interest. The bottom line, it is all about narcissism from their end. I realize now I've showed my vulnerability to the wrong people. I am not a weak person. I am a human being designed to have emotions, and one of those emotions is heartbreak. I not only fell in love with him, but I fell in love with his whole family, and I never got that out, and I never got out of it. When he lived away from the city, I continued to hang out with his two younger siblings. Eventually, I met their parents. They were really nice, and I have this thing about meeting my friend's parents. They make me nervous. However, they always made me feel like I was part of the family. Their family may have had their share of problems, but they were nothing like my family. My heart broke when I saw my childhood soulmate and his family leave forever. I thought I would never see them again. Worst of all, they would forget me. It took me a very long time to conclude that the boy at the party on that faithful summer day was the one I've dreamt fantasized about before our encounter. He changed my life forever. He showed me the meaning of love with his warmth and kindness. I was afraid at first,
because it was real and foreign to me, even though I have dreamt and fantasized about it. Most of all, he never saw me as being weird, like most of the children in childhood, in the neighborhood. He must have thought I was extraordinary. Here's another excerpt from www.medicalnewstoday.com. Abandonment issues arise when an individual has a strong fear of losing loved ones. A fear of abandonment is a form of anxiety. It often begins in childhood when a child experiences a traumatic loss. Children who go through this experience may then begin to fear losing an important person in their lives. Some individuals continue to fear abandonment as they grow older. Although it is less common, abandonment issues can also sometimes begin in adulthood. And Salome continues. Is this a case of someone who is not over their first love? I don't know. However, I do know that even though I have this immense love for him, I also love my significant other and respect the fact that my first love is a married man. He will always be my friend, and that is a foundation that will always remain strong. It is traumatic to see a loved one walk in and out of a child's life. It leaves emotional and psychological scars. Seeing a loved one walk in and out of one's life is very traumatic. All they want is for the individual to stay in their life. It could be a parent, a sibling, a cousin, or a family friend. The reason it is so traumatic is that the bond is so strong. The time is always measured. Instead of focusing on the measured time, they focus on the fact that their loved one is present. Therefore, the precious time spent must count. However, when the loved one is away, their absence not only makes the heart grow fonder, it also makes the heart yearn for those loved ones more and more. It was very traumatic for me to see my first love walk in and out of my life throughout the years. Whenever we had the chance to spend time together, our time was always measured. My heart broke every time he left. I tried to be optimistic, holding on the fact that we would see each other, that I would see him again, and having faith that he loved me, but it was not enough. I needed to physically be with him and spend time with him on a daily basis, pretending that he was going to be okay. Pretending that it was going to be okay took a toll on my heart. I don't blame him. I blame circumstances that drove us to live separate lives. My whole world shattered when I discovered he got married, because not only I lost the love of my life, but I was in an abusive relationship with a child of my own. I thought losing a good man and gaining a monster was my punishment somehow. Now I have someone who loves me dearly just as much as I love him. Even though my first love and I are good friends, he is tattooed in my heart forever. I have no ill will towards him. The love I have for him will always be pure, real, and strong. Therefore, the answer to that question is day by day, I become more and more all right, knowing that the love he and I share is unwavering. Okay, well, that concludes our first story from Are the Kids All Right? I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed reading it. And this is the world of Aja Pearl. It's my world, and I'm so happy you stopped by. Have a good day.